Hello listeners and welcome to CMI's Peace Talks. I'm your host Antti Ämmälä, CMI's Communications Manager. In this show we look at the world through the lenses of peacemaking. We have conversations with both our own and other top experts on what it takes to build lasting peace in this unstable world situation. In the wise words of our founder, Nobel Peace Laureate Martti Ahtisaari, we believe that all conflicts can be resolved. This podcast is about how to do it. In the first episode of Peace Talks, we focus on what works in peacemaking in these exceptionally turbulent times. The world is changing fast, and it's evident that the practice of peacemaking has to change accordingly. Some of the old ways of working are no longer working. Today we ask whether the Finnish way in peacemaking could be one way to move forward. My guest is CMI's Executive Director, Tuija Talvitie. Great to have you here, Tuija.
Thank you, Antti.
Tuija, ahead of the recent parliamentary elections in Finland, you wrote in your blog post how the Finnish way in peace mediation has grown in importance and is delivering results. What do you mean by this Finnish way?
Well, the Finnish way of peace mediation and dialogue and peace mediation more generally, I think reflects the fact that as a small nation, without a political agenda, we often find access and ways to conflict parties in a less threatening way. The fact that we're not a big power player, the fact that we're not working to a particular political agenda is usually much more helpful in very sensitive situations than the other way around. The Finnish way, I think, also refers to the fact that there are a number of independent conflict prevention, conflict resolution actors in Finland who do close collaboration with the Finnish Ministry for Foreign Affairs. And this cooperation, I think, is worth mentioning and worth noting.
Mm. So do you think that the current world situation somehow highlights the Finnish way of working? Does it respond to these current challenges somehow?
Well, let's say that the current situation, as you said yourself, we live in turbulent times, and we're also seeing new dynamics in conflict. And there's wide consensus that the root cause of main conflicts in the Middle East and in Africa is based on the citizens' feeling, deep feeling of political injustice, social injustice, and economic injustice. And when we talk about broad, very long-term phenomena like social reform, it means that people will have to have an opportunity to sit down and start thinking of what that might mean. And then both a country without a big political agenda and an independent actor can help people and conflict parties to build trust amongst themselves so that they can sit around the same table and start addressing the root causes of the conflict. Then, of course, it is a very, very long-term game when you start doing something about that. Changing social, political, economic systems takes time and skill.
You mentioned already the cooperation between the Finnish Ministry for Foreign Affairs and different Finnish NGOs in peacemaking. Would you elaborate a bit more? What do you mean by this cooperation?
Especially from CMI's point of view, we are an independent actor. It is absolutely crucial that in complex situations, various actors bring their strengths to bear and work together and coordinate. None of us can go solo in conflict prevention and conflict resolution. It has to be cooperation, which is a challenge these days because cooperation is not the flavour of the month. It seems that bilateral deals seem to be much more attractive, especially to bigger powers. And we just need to bring that, we need to bring that sense and sensibility of working together back on the agenda in a big way. And there, I think, our cooperation with the Finnish Ministry for Foreign Affairs is a natural. We would be stupid not to do it. We both benefit. We're looking at win-win situations, how we can complement each other. And complementarity is one of those key words and key principles of CMI in this work, which means that various actors, when their efforts are planned together and coordinated, can complement each other so that the end result is stronger and better.
Mm. Could you give a concrete example of this cooperation or complementarity? How would you distinguish different roles, let's say the ministry and an NGO like CMI?
Well, I think the most obvious difference is official versus non-official. Government actors, be they states or multilateral actors like the United Nations, like the European Union, like the OSCE, like the African Union, are all formal actors, together with a number of states. Formal actors act in a particular way according to their remit from the government. That is how it works. Independent actors are exactly that. They're not official, they're independent. They have more flexibility and less muscle. And I think these two strengths in terms of, because in peacemaking, you need both. You need both the formal more powerful, muscly, formal elements. But you also need the flexibility that independent actors can bring to play. And then it's a matter of negotiating. It's a matter of deciding what works best in any given situation. Independent actors usually have better access to sometimes very sensitive parties. And they could be parties that formal actors cannot even talk to. So again, there we make the most of the situation and we make the most of our strengths.
Mm. Can you give an example of a process where this complementary works well?
I can give a number of examples where CMI works with an official actor. I'll take one. I'll start with the African Union. We've worked with the African Union for over 10 years. Where their official mandate and their sort of official muscle, if you like, decides what they do, how they do it, and what are the best steps to be taken. Now, our role in that cooperation can be to support, can be to give new information, can be to add value, can be to do projects on their behalf where they think that we are more suited to that work than they would be. So that's one example. There's another example, which is the work that we do in Yemen, which is funded by the European Union. And we have to bear in mind that the European Union is not just a funding body. They're also a political actor. And there, the whole project has been planned together with the European Union so that the complementarity comes alive and comes true in the most effective way. There are other examples as well. I would say that there is no one process or no one project where CMI works as a solo actor. Everything is coordinated with the official actors, who usually have the official mandate to be either the facilitators or the peace mediators in that particular conflict.
You highlight the complementarity. What else is there in this Finnish way in CMI's work? What else would you say?
I suppose the fact that we're small and we're non-threatening, which gives us credibility. Sometimes small can be beautiful. You need to know when that is the case. But I think Finland has played it well. Also, the fact that Finland is one of the Nordic countries, happens to be one of those rare societies together with the other Nordic countries that at the moment is topping all the polls, no matter what kind of metrics you use, whether it's freedom of speech, whether it's women's rights, whether it's child mortality, whether it's the justice system, whether it's happiness, whether it's education, we seem to be doing very well as a society. Now, surely that is something where others can learn, not necessarily one-to-one, but at least be inspired. So what is it that we've done in the Nordics that has enabled Finland in particular in the past 100 years to become from a developing country, one of the poorest countries in the world, into one of the most successful countries in the world? Sorry, I should have said the most, the poorest country in Europe, not the world. We didn't do quite that badly. But it's been quite a journey. And that can be inspiring. I suppose the fact that you also have had a difficult past gives you a certain kind of credibility. And then the fact that we're not a class society. Equality is a hugely important thing. And the fact that we're solution-oriented, we're quite a pragmatic nation. All those things combined together give us good potential, at least, to punch above our weight, do more that a country of this size can do, but it doesn't happen by itself. Mm.
So does it also mean that in every peace process, if it's successful, you have to lay the ground for more egalitarian society somehow?
Absolutely. Every peace process is closely connected to social and economic and political development in any country. Equality is hugely important, and this is one of the major grievances at the moment with many citizens. When you talk to anybody really in the Middle East and Africa and ask them what should be better, you look at the recent unrest in Algeria, in Sudan, where it's the people who are demanding their rights, and they say we've had enough of these elitist sclerotic systems that only seem to serve a very well-to-do portion of the nation. What about the rest of us? And they're very basic needs. People need justice. People need security. People need livelihoods. People need to be recognized, and people need hope in order to build futures for themselves and for their children, because we know that there are a number of global threats that we'll all need to deal with. And if nothing works in a society, then things can be in a pretty bad way. Mm.
You mentioned already the sort of Nordic model, which has similarities with the Finnish way. And there was interesting report by the Nordic Council of Ministers that was put out recently, just saying basically that there's a lot of untapped potential in this sort of Nordic peace brand. What kind of... how would you distinguish the Finnish way and the Nordic model? What are the similarities and what are the differences?
I'm not sure whether there is a uniform Nordic model. The Swedes have a particular way of contributing to peacemaking. The Norwegians have a very particular role. They've always been active as a state, as a formal actor. The Finnish way has been more to rely on independent actors in peacemaking. And I think it's very difficult to say which one of these is the best, but I don't think that's necessary either. I think we need to join our forces, learn from each other, work together. And definitely, I believe that we haven't tapped all the potential that there is. I said before that nothing happens by itself. If we're serious as the Nordics or as Finland to become a major player in peacemaking, then we need to make investments. We need to make investments in monetary terms. We also need to make investments in terms of building capacity and understanding where that difference can best be made. But all in all, I would say that we're moving in the right direction. There is certainly more cooperation, at least with CMI and its Nordic neighbours. and also Nordic governments. And I think the one thing that has to be said is that CMI is the only independent actor focused on conflict resolution and conflict prevention in the Nordics. There are other agencies in the Nordics, but they operate under the umbrella of their MFAs, of their Ministries for Foreign Affairs. So in that sense, CMI does fit into a particular slot. And we certainly try to play to our strengths in cooperation with others.
Mm. One thing mentioned in that report is the role of women in peacemaking, that there's a lot of untapped potential and a lot of opportunities for cooperation between Nordic countries. And I know this is a very important thing for CMI as well. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, absolutely. Making sure that women, who constitute half of the world's population, have a serious role in not just peacemaking, but also in political, economic, social decision-making, is absolutely crucial. Nordic women have done well. It hasn't been an easy battle, but we've done well. There's still work to be done. I think that in itself shows that the role that women can play is very, very substantial and adds a lot of value. Women tend to look at the world slightly differently from men, which is a good thing, because again, we're talking about complementarity and joining forces. Now, there is a Nordic Women's Mediation Network, which has been going on for a couple of years, where the idea is to bring together Nordic women mediators to work together and help other women mediators in conflict settings to be more effective, to be more professional. All evidence points in the direction that including women gives better results. And there are short-term gains to be had from that, and then there are longer-term gains. And some of the short-term gains are that women, again, have different access to situations and people than men do. And very often that access and knowledge comes from the grassroots. But it's important to know whether a river is dry or whether a certain road is still abused or whether certain areas are still safe. And women have very successfully negotiated local ceasefires, for example, to allow humanitarian aid to come through. In the longer term, women play a very, very strong role in reforming societies. So this comes back to this whole idea about a more egalitarian, more just, more fair society, which has to do with land rights, which has to do very often with economic rights. And with giving women economic rights takes us also in the right direction in terms of their political and social rights. And at the end of the day, builds better societies. But that is a long road, as we know. Patriarchal societies change very slowly. But I'm very hopeful in terms of what the young people are doing at the moment, especially young business people with their startups. Their way of thinking is completely different. They're looking ahead. They want to move fast. They want to make the most of the opportunities that they have. And many of them are also women. Mm.
The progress seems to be slow in including more women in peacemaking. Where's the problem? What's your analysis on this?
Well, every change takes time, and change has been slow, but I would claim that the change that we're going to see in the next 3 or 4 years is going to be a lot faster. And women have also had good role models. They've had good experiences in taking the risk and doing something different, breaking that glass ceiling or steel ceiling or whatever it is. And during my recent visit to the Middle East, for example, I spoke to a number of women there who felt very confident and felt that they had a lot to give, and also felt that once men see what they can do, their work is hugely valued. But yes, social change doesn't happen in a week or a month or a year. It takes time, and it takes consistency, and it takes joint effort, but it can be done. Mm.
So gender equality and the role of women is really important for this Nordic or Finnish way, for both ways, I think. Just to wrap up, do you think this Finnish model or Finnish ways or should be an example for other actors as well to move forward? What do you think of this?
I think it very much depends, again, on what sort of systems you have in place in a country. I'm not a great fan of copying other models. I believe more in being inspired by them. But it's one way of doing things. There are other ways of doing things. But in order for peacemaking to then bring the peace dividends that we're looking at, you really need to have a lot of professional skill and capacity. Not anyone can be a professional in conflict prevention and conflict resolution. It takes years of study and experience, and especially these days when the work is done in teams, in organizational teams, but also other teams with other organizations. It's about cooperation. And then you just have to find the right people with the right skill set to do that and with the right mindset. This is not about solving other people's problems. I mean, nobody can make peace on anybody's behalf. We can help and support and facilitate, but we have to understand that our role is exactly that, to help and support. The ultimate responsibility for making peace and keeping peace and maintaining peace and making those social adjustments and reforms falls on the people of that country, which is why dialogue is so important, so that they can be in a place where they can start visioning a better future for themselves together.
Mm. So it would be very difficult to bring any sort of way or model from outside. I
mean, well, models are, they're interesting, but they can also be limiting. I would like much more to talk about sharing, learning together, developing the praxis of peacemaking. How do we do it? And just very openly sharing how we approach various things. I think this is a business where we're learning constantly. And as you said yourself, the context is changing so quickly and so fast and so fundamentally that we have to have our antennas high up in the air, learning and picking up signals from others all the time in how we can be more effective, but never compromising on responsibility and professionalism and doing the right thing and absolutely doing no harm.
Mm-hmm. And this is what CMI is doing at the moment. Learning.
This is what CMI is doing at the moment. I mean, we're very much in learning mode and sharing mode and also in sort of humble mode. These are difficult times. Conflict, working with conflict is always a very sensitive, very responsible thing. And we just have to have all our checks and balances in place so that the work that we do, we can stand behind it and that it produces results and a better future for the people who we want to help.
Tuija, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, Antti.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to CMI's Peace Talks with Antti Ämmälä. And by the way, if you want to read Tuija's blog post on the Finnish way in peace mediation, you can find it on our website cmi.fi. Thank you for listening to CMI's Peace Talks with Antti Ämmälä. If you like our show, please subscribe, leave a review and share it with your friends. You can also send us feedback and propose topics to discuss via social media, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, or by sending email to comms@cmi.fi.